Now, last night, the Cultural Heritage Bill passed the state upper house, meaning it has now passed the parliament. Cato Muir is the chair of the National Native Title Council, and he joins me now. Good morning, Cato. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm well, thank you.
What was your reaction this morning to the news that the Cultural Heritage Bill had passed the parliament last night?
It was an extreme disappointment. The state government has missed an opportunity to deliver an effective transformation of the relationship between the settler state and Aboriginal people. And here in this case, they've preserved the rights of the settler state to destroy Aboriginal sites without involvement and capacity of Aboriginal people to say no.
Now, the cultural heritage legislation, it came out of the inquiry and also the destruction of Juukan Gorge last year, 2020. I think it was May 2020. There's been a lot of discussion and information that's come out since then. Do you believe that these new laws will provide protection to cultural heritage sites?
Not to the extent that we would hope it to. These new laws actually ignore the federal government inquiry. And what it sets up is a convoluted process of reaching an agreement in an environment where there is no capacity for free in the free, prior and informed consent scenario. So having free will is an important element of human rights. And what this legislation does is it gives an opportunity for parties to have negotiations, but when they don't agree, it goes to the minister, and the minister has the final say on the capacity to destroy an Aboriginal site. And that's been the pushback that Aboriginal people have been saying, is that we want the right to say no to the destruction of our cultural heritage. Lessons learnt not only from Juukan, but this is a daily ongoing occurrence where, you know, thousands upon thousands of Aboriginal sites are getting destroyed. And this legislation doesn't do anything to stop it.
There was a complaint made to the UN over the laws. Where is that up to at the moment?
Well, I hear you've got Hannah coming on later, so she'll be able to give you the in-depth detail. But it's basically been referred back to the Australian government. And so basically the United Nations are saying to the Australian government, what is going on here? Why is Western Australia introducing a piece of legislation that is, by definition, racist? And that's the thing that I think a lot of people are not appreciating, particularly the Minister and the Premier, is that they're overseeing the introduction of a piece of legislation that is racist at its core.
Is there an opportunity at all now for First Nations groups to continue to speak to the government about the sections of the legislation they're not happy with?
Well, we've tried. That's been the argument all along, is we wanted to co-design this legislation with the state government. The state government drafted it all up behind closed doors, gave us less than 24 hours to review it before it was introduced. And as you can see, it was fast-tracked through Parliament, the machinery that they're operating under now. So I don't think the government will be opening the doors again, but it's going to be interesting to see how the federal government responds to the United Nations inquiry and what happens at the federal level as the government implements its Juukan report, A Way Forward. And in that, they're looking to design national standards. Now, West Australian law, as introduced, does not reflect a best practice, does not reflect a national standard. And at some point in the future, the West Australian government will be dragged kicking and screaming to a national standard on cultural heritage protection.
So what are the next steps for you and for those who are fighting for the right to have more of a say in what the laws actually do?
Well, the technical side, which includes a lot of the land councils, will be looking at co-designing the regulations. And that's what the opportunity that the state government has tried to, in a way misrepresent, is saying, oh, we'll let you guys co-design the regulations, but not the actual act. So I know there will be people sitting down to look at how the regulations are drafted. For me, as a traditional owner, native title holder, you know, I have to get on with the business of looking after Aboriginal heritage sites on my country. I'm actually going into a discussion later on today about particular cultural heritage matters on my land, and we're just going to have to work out how we're going to ensure our cultural heritage places are protected in an environment where there has never been protection. Every breed of Aboriginal Affairs Minister, whether it's a Labor or Liberal, for the last 50-odd years, has always allowed for the destruction of Aboriginal sites. So it's going to be very interesting to see if that changes today.
Cato Muir, I appreciate your time this morning, and thank you. We'll chat again soon.
My little two bobs worth on the Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how. What is a vegan and a vegetarian Christmas meal?
Well, I can answer that for you. I'm actually vegetarian, and I often do like a nut roast or something like that.
A nut roast, okay, yeah. Nice, yeah.
There you go.
I'm a vegetarian as well, so that's why I'm thinking, what would I eat?
You'd have a nut roast, salad. Or your salad, or yeah, there's lots of things that we can eat.
No worries. Thank
Thanks,
you, Kelly.
Cato. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Cato Muir there. He is the chair of the Native Title Council joining me, and with his reaction over the passing of the Cultural Heritage Bill, which happened in the WA Parliament last night.